No debate, no bias, just the news. Brass Tags with Zucker Jacob.
Welcome to this Brass Tags podcast. We've got a great show lined up today. Lots of news, lots to talk about. And with me, Ansia Kumar. What are we starting off the show with today?
We're starting off the show, of course, with Maharashtra, because there just doesn't seem to be any end to the drama in that state. So the latest is that, well, Shiv Sena seems to be going all ahead to forming the government there.
I think it's very interesting. To me, this is a fascinating story because increasingly it's becoming apparent now that this was the game that was being played all along. This was the sort of deal that was struck, whether it was between Pawar and Uddhav Thackeray, and then Sonia Gandhi agreed to that formula. Ultimately, I think this is... Uddhav knew this, and that's why he staked it all.
Because he refused to back down.
Absolutely.
He just stuck to his guns since the 24th of October when the results came out. And he said, look, nothing less than the chief minister.
And just to think of it, right? Like, he has 56 MLAs. Yeah. The BJP has 105. It has almost twice of his. And he was literally, you know, this was a game of brinkmanship. And if he eventually goes on to become chief minister, or if Shiv Sainik becomes the chief minister with the support of NCP and Congress, he won that game of brinkmanship.
Absolutely.
So I think all along he knew that this deal was always there on the table. I think that's why he went to the end to this direction in calling off the alliance. And it's a big moment, this, in not just in Maharashtra politics. This is a big moment in Indian politics.
Because it's, well, I don't remember in the last 6 years that BJP has actually had the rug literally pulled under their feet.
From under their feet. And not just that. I mean, it's historic, I would say, because, you know, this was the oldest Saffron alliance. Yeah. This was, Shiv Sena was the first ally of the BJP, and they never left them for 30 years. For Shiv Sena to now leave that alliance, break that alliance, and join hands with Pawar and with Congress, and for the Congress party too, I mean, to be associated with a party which they had branded as communal for the last 30 years, is also, you know, crossing a bridge that they never have in the last generation or so. So I think it's a fascinating political realignment. It is, you know, the closest that would come to this is, you know, if the DMK and the ADMK would emerge or something of that sort. These are two political rivals in a state who are willing to bridge the differences because now there is a bigger enemy to defeat politically, and that is the BJP. And I think it's a fascinating story.
And really, Uddhav's ticket out of all of this, so to say, is Sharad Pawar.
Yeah.
Because he's been the man instrumental in all of these backroom, back channel talks.
Absolutely.
From the 24th of October.
Absolutely. In fact, you know, somebody was showing this on Twitter that on the day of the election victory, when it was clear that, you know, the seats have gone four way, yes, the BJP was the number one party. The Sena had enough seats to be able to play this game of brinkmanship. Pawar apparently on that day had said that, you know, I've heard that Amit Shah is great at forming governments where the BJP doesn't have a majority. I'd like to see what he does in Maharashtra. And actually, over the last 2 weeks, what has happened is it's Pawar who's been playing all the games. He's been the one who's been pulling the strings. He's the one who's met Sanjay Raut. He's the one who's spoken to Uddhav on the phone. He's the one who's come and met Sonia Gandhi here in Delhi. I think he's clearly shown that he is the most wily political operator in Maharashtra.
Absolutely.
Just simply no doubt about it. If this government comes to pass, if a Shiv Sena-led government, Uddhav as chief minister or some other Shiv Sainik as chief minister with the support of NCP and Congress, then I think as much, if not greater amount of credit should actually go to Pawar more than perhaps to Uddhav Thackeray.
No, so when the results came out, we thought, oh wow, this is a resurgence for the NCP. But actually in the weeks that have progressed after that, it's been the resurgence of Sharad Pawar.
Yeah.
Because he's been there front and center in this entire operation, so to speak. So, of course, Maharashtra will be the big story that we'll be getting you at 9:25 on Brass Tags tonight on CNN News 18. The other big story, which, of course, no one seems to be able to stop talking about, is from Ayodhya.
Yeah.
The verdict, which, when it was announced that it was coming on Saturday, took a lot of us by surprise. But when it did come out, it wasn't that surprising, was it?
Yeah, I think of it, you know, logically, from just a common sense point of view. This was a solution that was proposed 25 years ago, that the Muslims get an alternate site and the Ram Temple is built at the disputed site. The court has just reiterated that. I think the court has looked at the merits presented by both sides. I think what the court has offered is to put a sense of closure to this. All right, we've done, we've adjudicated, let everybody accept, let everybody move on. Ayodhya surely can can and should move on. I think the country should move on, because for far too long this dispute, this divide, had you know, kept so many people apart, and it had become such an ugly chapter in our politics and in our history. I think what the court has done, though many are saying, you know, it may not be legally sound, the judgment has contradictions in it. Yeah. The point is, will it finally put this ugly chapter to an end? I think the court has given a way out for all of us. And I think the smart thing would be for all parties, the litigants as well as the parties who are politically, you know, shaping this contour, for them would be to just say, okay, thank you, Supreme Court, we've taken your cue, and we're going to now move on from Ayodhya. I think a big cue came from both the RSS chief as well as from the Prime Minister. I think the messaging is very clear. This is not a victory or a defeat for anyone. This was an ugly chapter in our history. I think it's time to, you know, turn the page, go to the next chapter, and move on from this. And I think, which is why, you know, even the BJP folks are not celebrating this. They've been very subdued, and I think the instruction has come right from the top. We even had those stories about the Prime Minister and Amit Shah telling the cadre as well as ministers, don't celebrate. You know,
this was even in the run-up to the verdict. This
absolutely
was even before the verdict.
Yep.
Because, well, they were just trying to give that sense of calm that, look, let's not go overboard. It is a verdict. It is an important verdict. It will shape the future of the country, but we need to be calm about this.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I know there is some amount of consternation, some amount of, you know, worry within some sections of the Muslim community.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, I think we need to look at it as a way out. The court has given all of us an opening, especially and certainly to the Muslim community as well. Hopefully, if they can also put this behind and move on and not worry about, you know, will this open, you know, demands in other places in Mathura and Kashi and so on, which I think Mohan Bhagwat completely said that, no, we're not interested in that. We are a Manavta Nirman organization, as he put it. So I really think, you know, this is one of those moments. I think the Prime Minister compared this to the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Yes, he did.
On the same day, 30 years ago. I think this is an epochal moment like that. This is our Berlin Wall moment. It's fallen. It's time now for both sides, both communities, to come together and just take the country forward. I think that's if that were to happen, if that would be the fallout of this verdict, it would be the best thing that this verdict has achieved.
But, you know, even in the series of press conferences that happened hours after the verdict, you had different Muslim bodies coming out and giving their opinion on this. And it was sharply divided.
It was.
Because you had the Sunni Waqf Board, which are walking away with 5 acres of land after this verdict. They said, thank you. We will decide on what to do with this land if we want it, etc. or not. Then you had the Babri Action Panel saying, no, we should just reject this. Yeah. We don't want anything to do with this land. So the divide is clearly there.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is a big moment for the Muslim community as well. If there were to be a pan-community leader who emerges, who can bring all of these warring sides together and say, look, yes, we can go back and ask for a review. Yes, this judgment may be legally flawed and has contradictions. But this is bigger than the judgment. This case, this verdict is way bigger than the judgment itself. Like I said, it's an opening, it's a way out. And I really wish that a tall enough leader comes out from the Muslim community who's able to rally all sections within the Muslim community and say, you know, let this be a marker, let this be a milestone. Let's now focus on the things that are important for the community. Education. I mean, there are innumerable, you know, reports that we have, Government of India reports that we have, talking about, you know, the backwardness of the Muslim community, both in terms of education, in terms of access. That's what, you know, the community leader should be focusing now on. This temple masjid fight is over.
We're just going,
it's over. It's time to move on now. And I think I really wish, I don't know if it's the Muslim Personal Law Board or the Waqf Board or whoever it is, or an Owaisi, he seems to be striking a rather discordant note, but whoever it is, there has to be one leader who comes out, who's able to capture this. And I'm sure there is a great sentiment within the community also on this. Certainly on the ground in Ayodhya there is. You speak to the Muslims in Ayodhya, they're just glad that it's over. Bawal khatam ho gaya. That's the overriding sentiment in Ayodhya, and I'm sure that's the sentiment in the community as well. It's about somebody being a lightning rod for that sentiment, somebody being able to capture that sentiment and then take the community forward. because the community definitely needs to go forward. There are, like I said, lots of issues, social backwardness, educational backwardness, health issues that are
which
there
need
in the
to
community.
Be the focus now, absolutely.
Yeah, which certainly need to be the focus. And I really wish that they use this as an opportunity to focus on the more important and the more pressing issues.
Now, as important as the Ayodhya verdict was, it is going to have ramifications on other verdicts,
yep.
especially the Sabarimala verdict, the
Absolutely.
Review that's coming up
Absolutely.
Later this week.
Absolutely.
So if belief is what is paramount, then, well, we sort of have a hint of how the Sabarimala review might go.
Yeah, because if, and the court has said this in the judgment in explicit terms, that Ramlalla is a juristic entity, right? If Ramlalla is a juristic entity, then so is Ayyappan. Right, he is as much a juristic entity as Ramlalla is. So if that is the case, then whatever the rights of the deity are and whatever the practices that are being followed there, I think it will come to play, because it would be contradictory otherwise.
Yes.
You can't have the court in one case saying that one deity has jurisdictional value or jurisdictional legal importance, whereas another deity does not. I think that would be contradictory. So I think we do get a sense of the direction in which the Sabarimala verdict might go. Again, I don't want to prejudge what the verdict would be. The only thing is, it's very rare for the Supreme Court to overturn its own judgments in review. Very rarely. I think in the history of the Supreme Court, less than 10% cases have had a revision of a Supreme Court order. So I think...
seeing how much of a backlash there was to this verdict.
Exactly, seeing how much of a backlash there was. And subsequent to that, now that you have this new judgment, which has laid the cornerstone, saying that there are deities are also juristic entities, I think you get a sense of which way the verdict is going to go. Couple of other cases. I think there's a Rafale review that's also pending. There's a defamation case from Rahul Gandhi. Again, that's pending. So a few more slightly less important cases. I think the most important outstanding case now is Sabarimala. And we'll be keeping a keen eye.
All right. We'll be keeping a keen eye on that verdict that's coming up, as well as all the stories that we'll be bringing you tonight at 9:25 on BrassTax.
No debate, no bias, just the news. BrassTax with Zaka Jacob.